spike scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait. Designation: Forge the Narrative.
Hello and welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We are about Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Evening, everybody.
Tanya Gates and Red Powell.
Hello.
Hey.
So we are right on the heels of the balance data slate that was released today. Actually, we're recording this show a little bit later. Kind of lucked out. You know, now we're going to be up to the minute. It's bleeding. Bleeding meta
news. Luck had nothing to do with it. It's just by design. We're just flexible and savvy.
That's what we do sometimes. And sometimes it is better to be lucky than good. But as Adam pointed out, of course we weren't lucky. There's a lot of things that are different now, or that will be. And so kind of we'll be talking about some of the things that have changed. I think it's going to breathe a lot of life into match play.
I think they did a great job. some of it's a bit more than I expected, some of it's a bit less, but I think this everything that's happened here will increase the health of the game.
No, fair enough. And even if it's, you know, we look at a lot of lists and a lot of tournaments and see a lot of factions represented, and it's going to shake that up a bit. I'm curious as to what's going to be the dominant faction, but what I really expect is some of these underperforming factions are going to double and triple in representation, because it's not like no one has these armies, they just haven't felt confident about playing them out in a competitive setting.
Yeah, or they've felt a bit disenfranchised by some of the directions the game is going. I know Drakari did this to a lot of people for their, you know, 9 months of infamy in 2021. But luckily, you know, pandemic kept us from copping the worst of that. But unlucky for most. But they played the game in a certain way and forced a certain kind of play style on people that a lot of people didn't quite enjoy. And I think that we were headed that way again. This was a two-headed beast this time, rather than being a single-headed beast as Drakari was. The two-headed beast here was we had the paradigm of absolute indirect fire, whereas terrain didn't matter, cover saves didn't matter. If doesn't matter if I could see you, couldn't see you, your deployment didn't matter. If I was in range, you were removing models. And the other one was the kind of new level of durability through kind of janky, weird rules interactions that Harlequins succeeded in achieving, which is and then spamming out a very, very efficient boat to all intents and purposes.
Well, that's going to get curtailed a little bit, but let's talk about the change to indirect fire. When we can start lead off with that, is an indirect fire weapon is one that can target unit. Well, we know what an indirect fire does. It targets things out of line of sight. If such weapon targets a unit that is not visible, i.e. no models in the target unit are visible to the firing unit when you select it as a target, then each time an attack is made with that weapon against that target, this phase, worsen the ballistic skill characteristic of that attack by one and add one to any armor saving throw made against that attack. This is going to come up pretty importantly on the next roll. I want to talk about Armor of Contempt here in a second, but this is a pretty big change to indirect fire weapons, and we've been evangelist for indirect fire weapons because they're so powerful, and armies that had access to them, we have had no shame in encouraging people to take them. This curtails them a little bit, but there's a little caveat here for Astra Militarum. Astra Militarum and indirect fire weapons, attacks made with indirect fire weapons by Astra Militarum models are unaffected by any of the indirect fire weapon rules presented above. So people, they don't worsen their ballistic skill, and people do not get one to their armor save.
Well, it's quite clever, isn't it? Because GW has done such a great job of making so many of the 9th edition codexes very, very well internally balanced. So there's multiple options for you to build armies. Guard don't have that option. If Guard can't take things like Manticores, Wyverns, Basilisks, Masters of Ordnance, Mortars, they really don't have much of an army that's going to be viable at the moment. And so it just means that GW has got their finger on the pulse and like know that Guard rely on these things so much more than any other army.
We're going to see more of them. But before we jump to the actual like factions and stuff, I do want to talk about this Armor of Contempt, because I think this helps lots of factions. Armor of Contempt is each time an attack is allocated to an Adeptus Astartes, Sanctic Astartes, Heretic Astartes, or Adeptus Sororitas model, worsen the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by one. This rule does not apply to any of the following: models equipped with a Storm Shield, a Relic Shield, or a Combat Shield, or a Relic that replaces one of those, models with either the Sacrosanct Shield or Force Shielding ability, so the Sacrosancts or the Nemesis Dreadknight units. Models that are under the effects of any other rule that worsen or reduce the armor penetration characteristic of an attack.
This is big. This is really, really, really big. And probably the biggest buff to anything that we've seen in a long time, because this is not, this isn't a targeted buff. This is almost a universal buff. Like so many factions get a lift. And very importantly, this isn't ignore AP1 or treat AP1 as AP0, as we have seen from various different sources. This is treat any AP as one worse. So if it is one, it goes to zero. If it's two, it goes to one, three to two, et cetera. And it's very clever on their part, again, not pointing out the storm shields, because, of course, if you could stack this with a storm shield, that would be kind of ridiculous and overpowered. As is right now, I think it goes back the other way. I think it invalidates a lot of storm shields. It means that storm shields aren't the modus operandi. We get a lot more freedom to put lightning claws, storm bolters, and power fists and chain fists on Terminators, power swords and, you know, bolt pistols on Marines and Vanguard veterans and things.
You were mentioning to like, peel storm shields off. Do you think it's that drastic?
Depends. Some people went out and have, you know, like 15 Vanguard veterans with storm shields and lightning claws. And, you know, a lot of people magnetized those with a little bit of foresight. So I don't think you need a bunch. I mean, I still like the idea of having one or two in a squad, in a five or a 10 model squad, because I think having a 4-up invulnerable save in combat is still pretty powerful. There is still plenty of AP3, AP4 out there that a 4+ will insulate you against, especially other Marines, you know, for the perfect examples, things like Blade Guard in Assault Doctrine hitting that AP4.
Enough of this Imperial talk. Heretic Astartes here.
Heretic Astartes.
So with the Heretic Astartes, actually, we checked on this earlier, is that like the Thousand Sons and Death Guard have Bubonic Astartes and Heretic Astartes and
Astartes? I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, Arcana Astartes or whatever is the Thousand Sons, but they're also Heretic Astartes.
Dusty Astartes.
But also, you know, what about Khorne Berserkers? And Noise Marines? Like, those have been kind of just hovering right outside. They've been in the dark corners of the meta.
I mean, and we'll talk about it some more, but like with all this and the compounding of what it means, like, it's not a second wound. I'll just go ahead and get that out of the way. But giving that to Khorne Berserkers is a pretty big deal. I mean, giving that to all of the, when you take into effect everything that goes into Heretic Astartes, I mean, we're talking Khorne Berserkers, we're talking Disco Lords, we're talking cultists, demon princes. I mean, it's pretty broad, right? Everything that fits in that category. And so that's a pretty big deal. When you start to broaden out all the different aspects, I mean, even Chaos Terminators and just a little bit more added durability, you know, put them in range of Abaddon, make them Slaaneshi so they shoot twice, give them combi plasmas and go to town with a little bit more durability. It's just enough that I think it helps kind of put some of these things on over the edge. Is it like amazing? Is it a ninth edition codex? No, it's not. But it's still there's still some really good things to be taken out of that. And again, even cultists, while it's not a huge deal, it's still better than a lot.
Well, great point on the Terminator front, because for the longest time, I always thought it was silly that Imperial Terminators get storm shields and Heretic Terminators don't get storm shields, when it was clearly they were around in the Heresy and they'd both probably have them. Thunderhammers as well. Always now it was a bit crazy. But now you don't really care.
Chaos Space Marines.
You don't feel the loss.
They can get a Thunderhammer.
They can get Thunderhammers now. Yeah, and that was a big deal when they could, because that was only recently. But now you don't feel the loss. In addition, I think this is quite a decent buff to some other little outliers in the meta. I'm not going to tell people to go out and start playing Obliterators, but every extra wound that Obliterators have, things like Mutilators, things like Centurions as well for Imperial stuff, these big chunky units getting this, anything that starts with a 2+ save just got a lift, essentially.
Question. It's Thousand Suns where they can ignore AP on one damage weapons, right?
No, it's +1 to their save.
That's the exciting part.
Yes, they get both.
Okay, well, Thousand Suns are looking pretty good.
They are indeed. I totally agree with that statement.
I think they're also kind of just on the fringes of things. They have a lot of powerful abilities that kind of get waylaid by the fact that they don't stay on the table as long as you might want them to do. And, you know, I don't know that an extra, you know, save in some cases is gonna really be what does it for them, but it doesn't not do it for them.
That's true. I mean, the thing it does is it makes what they do already better. Same for Death Guard. They're good at surviving. Their durable units got more durable. They didn't get more dynamic, which I think is the more intrinsic issue with both of those factions. If they had like a speedy OPSEC unit, they would just have a whole new lease on life. Like, they'd have a whole new play styles or hybrid builds that they could have. As it is right now, they're just like, well, we used to stand here really good and barely die, and now we stand here extra good and barely die.
I think the big winners from this, though, of course, I know I was being a little bit sarcastic with saying that the Imperial factions, but, you know, they get a lot of press. Yeah, Imperial factions do. But these Heretic Astartes, specifically the Noise Marines and the Berserkers, I think are every time that one of them is on the table a little bit longer than you want it, than your opponent wants it to be, something's going right for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. What's the max amount of rend you can get on a Berserker chain axe?
Man, so that's the problem, right? Is it used to be AP minus two. No. So it used to be plus one strength, which I liked that better. Now it's AP minus two, and then you can juice it with the stratagem that takes it to AP minus three. So you can make a chain axe essentially AP minus three. It's like a 1 point power sword, sort of.
That's a marine killing weapon all of a sudden.
Goes to what I was talking about earlier. Like, you know, this is a lot of, okay, so you put a marine in cover and they've got the cover save plus the, you know, minus one, this whole new aspect of Armor of Contempt. And so there's this whole, I mean, it's going to make them pretty resilient, but you can reduce that, of course, by not having to worry about a cover save by going into close combat, right?
Yes.
And so I think that pluses up the aspect of close combat for me in a lot of cases, what I'm considering, what I can do with Khorne Berserkers and even, again, like Disco Lords and their ability as Red Corsairs to advance and charge. I mean, that, of course, you could go with the Slaanesh route. And there's a whole other approach to that. You know, it puts Possessed back on the table as well, giving them that a little bonus. Of course, they have a built-in invuln, but making them a little bit more tougher in the AP world is nothing to scoff at. And making them Alpha Legion and Slaaneshi is a whole other approach when you're looking at different avenues to approach. And these aren't new. This is tried and tested and true fun tactics with the Chaos Space Marines. But this small shift is adding just enough of a mechanic raise to bring some of these things back in where when we talk about this being a balanced data slate, I largely think that it does add some of those aspects to it. I we can go into some of the other parts where people think that their factions were reined in, or using a more colloquial term of being dumped on. I don't necessarily
not the
agree.
Term I thought you were going to eat kind of pick.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I thought that was a good shift, right? No, but I really don't think that they got dumped on in the same way. I think that as the effort to balance, I truly think that it was just to bring everything within a certain range as much as they could, so that people can explore different aspects. I'm sorry that Emperor's Chosen are no longer the immediate go-to thing that you're always going to pick over anything else. I'm sorry that, you know, the Harlequin build was reduced in such a way that you might have to consider bringing in dark versus light or so on and so forth. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that the fact that there can be multiple good options now to factions because of the quote-unquote nerfs put in place is I think that's a way to go about it, and I don't think it's necessarily the worst way they could have done it by any means.
If there's players of the factions we were just talking about with all these Heretic Astartes of the various legions and whatnot, I think they're going to feel better today than they did yesterday. That's a win. That's an overall win. I think a resounding success from this document. But let's
couldn't agree more. I mean, the whole purpose of this is to bring down the top, bring up the bottom, right?
Right. Yeah, and the bodyguard ability, that's something. So this is going to take a little bit to unpack. So, like, we're about to get kind of crunchy with rules, maybe. Well, maybe we explain it in a couple of swift strokes, but the bodyguard mechanic will not function the same way it did yesterday. You might want to take a crack at this.
Well, I mean, you want to break down the rule real quick for me, and then I'll throw something out there that I thought was interesting, kind of my first initial thought.
Yeah, so the bodyguard ability, change the end of all bodyguard, and it's in quotes because there's several kind of different versions of this abilities, from enemy models, units cannot target the character with ranged attacks, to that character can use the look out, sir, rule, even if this unit contains fewer than three models. If a unit's bodyguard ability only affects a specific type of character unit, the updated version of that unit's bodyguard ability still only applies to that type of character. It gives a couple of examples of that.
Yeah, like cryptics and such of that nature. This is a huge change. Essentially, this is the first time I've seen, in 9th edition at least, a change to a core mechanic. Or something that we in years gone past, we would have said the change to a universal special rule. You know, this would have been akin to like hit or run, hit and run changing, or the way independent characters work, or whatever. This is big. This is, I mean, I don't want to say every army, but the vast majority of armies in the game had some play where they could, quote unquote, you know, abuse the bodyguard mechanic. I mean, I know I did it myself with Talon Masters. I'd have two, you know, Deathwing Command Squad Terminators sitting in cover behind a wall, and then a Talon Master on an objective on the other side of the wall, shooting everything in the world with a stupid amount of shots, and you couldn't shoot him back. And, like, it never felt great. It only felt, and I justified it because I felt like everybody could do something similar. And I'm very happy you can't anymore. I think this is a great change.
It was a bit of a fun sponge.
And it was nonsensical. It was totally nonsensical.
I don't know if I want to go quite that far, because I mean it makes sense. Like these things are protectors. They're on the battlefield. It's narratively fine. You know, there's all kind of stuff, but it really became a frustrating element on the table for some players, and especially maybe more casual players. I don't know if anybody else feels that way.
Well, and so it kind of had. You know, they tried to, right, we transitioned from independent characters from 7th edition to 8th edition with more of this lookout sir mechanic and how that worked, right? No longer could characters just simply join units and then be masked by that unit from there on. They suddenly had to do lookout sir checks to make sure that they were within 3 inches of a unit of three or more models, or a model with however many, what, 9 or more wounds, something like that. I'm sorry. And that was an FAQ as well, to add that piece in. And then they've adjusted it further. And so it's just interesting how they've continued to explore the mechanic in that regard, and how they go about making it. And so that takes us back to, like was mentioned, the Cryptex and the walking garbage cans. I should know their name.
Keg butts.
Keg
butts.
Right? Between the keg butts, or even Gilliman's Honor Guard, right? Like, how's that going to work now? Is that off the table?
Yep.
Yeah, right? So we've got to, like, that's the whole reason those two, literally, it's a two-model unit. The whole purpose of it is to use bodyguard so it can block that, and now they no longer do that. And so, cool.
Well, aren't they supposed to be bodyguard and Marius Calgar, and they just happen to also bodyguard Gilliman?
Sure, I guess.
They come in the box with Calgar. I'm looking,
but I think I see him doing something else though most of the time. Yeah. But okay.
Who cares?
Yet another sideline for Calgar. Another little bit of a. That's rough.
Yeah. Second best chapter master is still not the first.
but it's a fundamental change, and that's going to, I think, in itself. It might, players who've come to rely on that tactic, it obviously will, you know, precipitate some changes, but I think it will create an overall more interactive and entertaining experience for everybody else. So it's kind of hard to not like this.
It's very hard to not like it. I do agree there are some thematic elements that are going to be lost through this, but this is a balanced dart slate for the for match play.
Well,
so you got to
talk about
a little bit of disbelief at least.
Yeah, let's talk about when Lookout Sir though. Come, like, what things get around Lookout Sir? Mostly sniper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I mean,
the fact that bodyguards worked against snipers, I've always thought was the dumbest bit.
Yeah, bodyguards don't protect you from snipers unless there's a very terrible sniper.
It used to. Like,
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, but I mean, in the narrative sense or whatever. I think there's a bit of a themey thing here, and that's when it's going to come into play. Is this whole
the whole premise of a sniper is to circumnavigate defenses and obstacles to just be out of the range of repercussion. And you're like, well, see that guy? I can see him clear as day on one side of a wall. There's two guys on another side of the wall that are shouting very loudly that I'm not allowed to shoot this guy. And apparently they're correct. It always felt so stupid to me. But yet, you know, it's something everybody used to.
Well, there's rules. Look, we play the game in the abstract. So, I mean, that's kind of what it is. The game is played slightly in the abstract. So sometimes there are going to be rules that just simply alert us to the abstract.
For sure. And like I said, you've got to suspend some disbelief. It's impossible to, you know, properly antiquate a lot of these things. And if we go down the rabbit hole saying, oh, this is an absurd thing from a thematic point of view or a narrative point of view, and you're like, well, you know, they've got massive spaceships up there with world-ending guns, but I'm going to totally slap this guy with this chainsaw right here, right now, you know?
My God. Let me tell you, I don't mind sharing one of the ways that I struggle to suspend disbelief is that most space battles in Warhammer 40,000 end with boarding actions.
So that's a great point. Let me just hit this since we already talked about the indirect fire aspect, right? I like what they did. I like how they've adjusted the indirect fire mechanism. But let me just, and I'm not complaining, I just want to point out a really funny hypothetical situation here, right? So Astra Militarum are, we're essentially, we get a freebie, right? They apply this indirect fire penalty to everybody except Astra Militarum. And so let's just assume in the abstract that Astra Militarum somehow are bringing enough munitions that it just makes up for the fact that everyone else has worse indirect fire, right? And to be fair, like, this isn't the first time that a mechanism like this has existed, right? Like, Tau were not held back for the longest time by the Overwatch mechanic, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody could Overwatch. And so it's not like this is so far out of the realm. But I do want to point out that, like, Eldar, right, like the super old race, or Necrons, who have no indirect fire weapon system, so let's not even talk about that. But Eldar, who do have it, who have like this whole crazy, super dedicated approach to combined arms and how they accomplish it. They like dedicate entire lifetimes to one path and whatnot. So there's some dude in a Falcon, right, or a Night Spinner that is like wholly dedicated to the art of indirect fire and everything. That's just like his thing. That's the path that he has chosen for that time. However, due to how this mechanic has come out, he just sucks. And so he's not as good as some of the Astra Militarum stuff. And so somehow the Astra Militarum are just bossing this whole indirect fire thing. Don't get me wrong, they're one, you know, they're typically, we take ballistic skill 3 for Eldar, ballistic skill 4 for Guard, and in most cases Guard through dense terrain are going to be at 5s anyway, so on and so forth, blah blah blah. It plays itself out. But I just thought it was really funny that somehow Astra Militarum are just putting so much heat on the target with their indirect that they are not held back by this mechanic. And I'm not saying I'm biased, but
obviously the light of Big Daddy E is like guiding.
Just guiding. Yeah.
Yeah, it's guiding.
Truly inspirational. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. No, none of the others, not the Space Marines.
No.
Not anybody else. But Astra Militarum, just for showing up to play, right? Just for putting it on the table, they get the Emperor's light.
But here's the thing. Space Marines don't feel any fear, so therefore the Guardsmen are the true heroes of the Imperium.
Right. Because they really show up courageous? Yeah.
Even though they're scared to death and they had to wear their brown pants that day, and they still showed up.
Well, that's true. But, being a hero does not mean you're not afraid.
That's right.
That's right. I've got more to add on Guard, but we haven't gotten there yet. So I'll hold off. So we've got to keep going.
I love this.
So bodyguard rule fundamentally changing, which is probably a net positive.
Undeniable, yeah. I think amazingly positive.
Yeah, and those are like the big broad rules. And I think maybe we take a break. I know it's a little bit early for the break. Maybe we take a break and then come back and we can talk about some of the faction stuff. We'll see you in a minute.
See you.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Thanks for checking out our sponsors. And also, maybe pick up a t-shirt. The link will be in the show notes. FTN t-shirts and stickers. Really cool sticker. I have it on my laptop. It's been there for a while. And I love it. It does what stickers are supposed to do.
Lie there and look pretty?
That's exactly. It sticks and it looks pretty.
I do have to say that the t-shirts are very soft and very high quality. And I'm very happy with mine.
Nice. Well, look, there will be a link in the YouTube video and the show notes. If people want to get up a t-shirt. Now, but let's talk about some of these factions. Some big changes to a couple factions. One, is going to talk about the Custodes, because there's been a lot of people seemingly frustrated with the Custodes changes. I should say
a lot of people.
Custodes
Are
players.
Are you sure?
Custodes people have been frustrated with the Custodes changes.
Oh, that's sad. I mean, you know, at this point, like, they made it all the way to the final two at LVO. Like, you know, you got your window. You hit it while you got it. And, like, we all know the nerfs are, quote-unquote, the nerfs are coming. Like, I'm sorry, I guess.
So, here's the thing. Change the third bullet point of the detachment abilities of Adeptus Custodes detachments to read, troop units in Adeptus Custodes detachments gain the objective secured ability.
So people feel this is over the top, right? And I get they don't have a lot of models. I get it. There's not that many models. They feel, you know, okay, so Terminators lost it.
Trajan.
Wardens lost it. Trajan lost it. I mean, you also have some of the most toughest infantry units. You have some of the best efficiency in certain regards. You have, like, you know, and I understand we haven't even gotten to the part where also their stratagems were knocked down to, like, once a game and everything. But, like, come on, man. Like, I'm sorry you don't got, like, everything. You just got a little bit less.
I think it's great. Like, thematically, them all having objective secure. I didn't mind it. I actually thought it was really kind of cool, because when a custode is on the battlefield, it is truly an army of one, and certainly that army of one can hold down that objective.
I think that was a great aspect to it too, but you saw to an extent certain ways that it was being played, and I don't think it was bad ways. I mean, I played against many custodes armies, and I think that they were awesome, and they played it really well with what they had available to them. But I do think that it makes them scramble a little bit more for the board, instead of some of the, because they're so efficient. And now we go back to, again, what I was saying before, that, like, Shadow Keepers is a great defensive option for Custodes players. And so while they might not be taking the hyper efficiency of the Emperor's Chosen, Shadow Keepers is still really great for that deficient defense option. And they can lean into that a little bit more. I get where the balance was going. And, well, Paul, I totally agree. I think them all having objective secured was almost like a baseline ability. I mean, they've had that since they were created, right? Mm. Back, what, 2016? And so that's been a mainstay rule. It's kind of like it felt like Tau losing their, like, ability to overwatch everything, right? But I don't think that, just like how Tau are still doing pretty well regardless of what came out of this data slate, I don't think it's going to massively slow down the Custodes capabilities.
Let's read on, see if you change your mind.
Oh, I won't, but okay. Oh.
Add the following to the esteemed Amalgam Emperor's Auspice and Martial Discipline, or sorry, Martial Direction stratagems. You can only use this stratagem once.
I will be the counterpoint to Red. And I think these are a bit heavy-handed for my taste. I think these went a little bit too far.
Because you now have to shelve all the Custodes that you were wishing you were going to play? I'm sorry.
I own a Custodes army that is mostly unbuilt and sitting in a drawer, and it was for 30K. Yep. And then I saw how powerful they were in 30K and never got around to doing it. But I was had no intention of building that army. This, could have been a bunch of other things, I think, that would have made a little bit more sense than once per game. I would love to have seen a scaling mechanic, like 2 CP to use Auspice to, you know, deny rerolls, or made it only versus shooting. I think it always went for shooting. And, you know, it make it scale up to use on bikes, like it's 2 CP infantry, 3 CP on bikes. Because having it as 1 CP on anything was kind of ridiculous. And then it scaled up, of course, on a number of models. But having it just permanently 2 CP to go to 3 CP, depending if it, you know, was on an infantry or not, mm-hmm. I think would have made a bit more sense to just drain out that big CP pool that Custodes got, because that was one of the biggest changes Custodes got. They got the ability to save about 150 odd points by taking some Sisters of Silence in their battalion, but they got to take a freaking battalion for the first time in a long time and not feel silly for filling it out. So they have so many more CP to play with, and so they got to just slap down these things here, there, and everywhere. Or every turn, something's transhuman, something you can't rerolls. Every turn, transhuman rerolls, and you know, Tanglefoot and all these other things, and switching a stance from Emperor's Chosen. So I think the bigger issue was to make them spend double or sometimes even triple the cost rather than once per game. Once per game feels, I mean, it feels wild. It's like, of all the possibilities, I did not see that one coming.
It was either that or ban Trajan, okay? So take your pick.
Like, honestly, the fact that Trajan didn't get a points hike is just my brain just reels still.
Look, things can be good in the game, man. You gotta, things can be good. It's fine for
that's
that.
Right.
But see, the thing
that's
is, right. he could be 40 more points and still be good in the game.
He could cost as much as one Void Weaver.
He costs less than a Void Weaver still. So more, sorry, more. He still costs.
No, he's still a little bit more. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was a little bit overs, but I don't mind. Like, and we've seen that GW are happy to remove things, but balance slate to balance slate, because there are some notable omissions from some of the night changes that were in, which they've told us are coming in their codexes. So no need to be too fearful about the loss of OPSEC, but that tells you they're happy to revisit things. They're happy to be like, yeah, you know, things are changeable, things are malleable. So even if this is overkill for Custodes right now, that's cool. That probably just means they hit the shelf for at most 3 months, hopefully.
I do like the fact that this is shown that this is truly to take the temperature of the match play environment, and things can change. And
yeah,
I don't mind that. And there seems to be like a theme from this one particular to not maybe affect people's model purchases that they've already have, kind of thing.
Yeah. In addition, this is the second one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't one in the middle. I missed there. Dream. Yeah. But so, and the one trend I've noticed, it's exactly what you've said, Paul, as well. They're very unwilling to invalidate people's model ranges. Like, say, you know, you can no longer play XYZ. I think that's probably a learning they may have made from the previous one, when they took people who had, you know, I know people who have upwards of 15 orc buggies and now can play a max of 9 of them and in any one game, because you can only take a squadron of one single squadron of up to 3. And so I think, yeah, they may have learned something from that. It'd be like, yeah, we really don't want to put that on people if we can help it. But in addition, I've also noticed I don't want to say an unwillingness, but they have not as of yet touched any core faction mechanics. Like, they haven't touched command protocols or canticles or, you know, or doctrines, or, you know, they haven't really touched any of those core mechanics, which I think is probably for the best. When you get into some of those things, some of those core codex mechanics, you can just invalidate whole books, really, or really fundamentally annoy people or frustrate people, you know, not knowing where their rules are to be found.
Where they're going to wander each time. So yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a very good point. The next thing here is that change the Adeptus Custodes keyword in all instances on the Arcane Genetic Alchemy and Emperor's Auspice stratagems to read Adeptus Custodes Infantry.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's those are some hits.
It's a threefold hit. Their best stratagems got nerfed. One of the best aspects of their army being like OBSEC on the vast majority of the models also got nerfed.
Like, if you just take out all your opponent's models, it didn't matter if they're OBSEC. That's always been my plan.
I mean, they didn't change the rule where you still count as extra models, right? So you still count as 2. So all you really need is one OBSEC model to get all the benefits of, because just you know, you only need one OBSEC to counteract their OBSEC, and then it goes to number of models. Mm-hmm. And you Custodes are likely to have the most. But I think all this does was shift the kind of cookie cutter design that Custodes had kind of come to, where it was like min max troops, min max your 3x3 bikers, and then fill out to taste. Sometimes that was dreadnoughts, wardens, a couple of units of Alaris, or you know, single Alaris, do some deep strike shenanigans here and there.
The variance I saw was like, does it have a tank in it or not?
Yes, exactly. Is it tanks or dreadnoughts with those extra 500, 600 points?
So, Adam, let me ask a question. And this is not a trap.
You promise?
That's exactly what someone setting a trap would say. But go on.
Do you feel like the entire game should just be based in the efficiencies of list construction? Or do you feel like the game should require you to actually like make hard decisions in the game, whether it's in list construction or also in the actual game itself where you're playing against another person, to the extent that you actually have to struggle to you know, it's not even what the other players bring, but that there actually has to be some kind of dynamic struggle with the decisions you're making, because ultimately you are, you know, it's conflict, right? You don't have all the resources, all the time, and all the ability to make it, right? So do you think that appropriate planning and preparation and list construction alone should be able to set you up to walk out with essentially that much of an advantage, or what?
So you're saying, I get what you mean. You're talking about decision making. I think that yes, I don't want people to only have good decisions to make. You have to give people the opportunity to make mistakes. Otherwise, we're all just playing chess. I think there's a threshold in this decision making or this game design where you don't want to push it to such an extent that there's so many negative decisions that you choose to just not play the army. You choose not to play the factions. I suppose that's the knee-jerk reaction that we don't want to get from things like this, where people just knee-jerk, oh, my army is unplayable, and therefore, you know, game is unfun and I will do other things.
There you have it, folks. Adam just said the custode nerfs weren't that bad. Don't hold back. Don't lose your army yet.
Absolutely not. One thing I've been saying probably ad nauseam for people is that GW is doing a great job of internal balance in these codexes. External balance, I haven't been the greatest fan, but you know, the things, times have been worse as well. But internally, there are always new avenues to go down. There's a lot of really exciting things to do with custodes. I'd like to see, at LVO, there was a gentleman who ran, I think it was somewhere in the region of 30, just guard. Just custody guard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that. It looked good.
It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. You know, do that with a couple of tanks or some Venatari to jump in and do some more dynamic stuff. You got yourself a very, very exciting list.
I like that. Even
That's great. But even think like, okay, so to your point, right? Chess and having the exact same pieces. 2 weeks ago, if two custodies players pretty much walked up to the table and said, I'm playing Emperor's Chosen. The other guy said, oh, funny, I'm playing Emperor's Chosen. You'd expect him to largely have almost the exact same list, right?
You could reel off 100, 1,500 points of their lists, and I bet you'd pretty much get it dead on. But, you know, you'd just be like, oh, it's a battalion. It's got Trajan, one captain on bike, and probably Mr. Worldwide, the captain with the Praetorian plate. And then it's got two units of guard or Sagittarium, one unit of prosecutors for the troops. Then it's 3x3 bikes. And there's your 1,500 points of your list, give or take.
Yeah. And then you throw in the discussion around, you know, which type of tank, which flavor of tank did you think is going to help really give you that advantage in the meta? And look, this is going to mix it up some. I probably don't value objective security as much as I should.
Such a Blood Angels thing to say.
I was about to say, that is absolutely a Blood Angels. Yep, I agree with you, Adam, for once.
Can't hold the objectives if they're dead.
It's like, yeah, we're going to be there in a swarm. Well, but an assault army in general, I think, maybe cares less for it because you...
Absolutely. Korn cares not for your objectives. It's merely the death of you. That's right.
Is the objective a pile of skulls? No, I don't want it.
But I think... that the custodians can pivot to where they have that mentality also and be just fine. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I do want to talk about the Astra Militarum.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yeah, boy.
This is just an interesting thing. Lehman Russ, as we mentioned, some stuff came out of this, like for the Knights. Stuff came out for the Knights. Stuff stayed in. Like the Lehman Russ is still getting a 2+ save.
Not Baneblades, though. Weird. Keep going.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, man. Baneblades. Can't catch a break if you're Baneblade. So the change to the points cost for infantry squad units and as follows, that the infantry squad has a unit size of 10 models and it's 60 points. But the reason this is like really important is that note the cost of all the units' war gear options is reduced to 0.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, war gear is a lot of stuff. War gear is things like las cannons and plasma guns
and foxcasters
and foxcasters,
right, baby,
and power fist on the sergeants and plasma pistols.
Oh my gosh,
we haven't seen this happen in a long time, by the way.
Since seventh edition, you mean?
Yeah.
Since WarCon, since Battle the Gladius.
Company? Yeah, man.
Oh my gosh, here it goes. Astra Militarum WarCon. Let's go.
I mean, what a beautiful world, firstly.
720 points of just straight up 12 infantry squads. And somehow I'm going to figure out how to fit in about 400 more points.
Well, it's going to be 12 las cannons and 12 melter or plasma guns. And
I don't know, man. As we continue to read these rules, it might just be a matter of how many shots can I fit in.
Well, and that's where we're going. We talk about indirect fire. Let's talk about mortars. So, okay. I think what Red is leading me to mention here is the Hammer of the Emperor.
Oh, snap.
If every regiment unit in your army is drawn from the same regiment, then each time
God's
a regiment
sorry,
model from your army makes a ranged attack, an unmodified hit roll of 6 automatically wounds the target.
Man, flashlights never sounded so good.
I know, the terror of our times.
I just have to make you roll enough dice and you'll eventually fail, right?
Note that the units listed as advisors and auxiliary do not prevent other Astra Militarum units from your army from gaining the rule, but advisors and auxiliary units never benefit from this rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to have the regiment keyword.
Correct. So you could throw if you wanted, you don't have, you know, you could throw Scions in because they don't have a regiment keyword. So they don't throw off the whole regiment thing. It's just as long as all of the regiment units, that's not just like infantry squads or just the infantry models. It's all of the regiment units. So our mana cores, everything. As long as you're putting more shots out, they're going to auto wound.
Correct.
Oh, man.
Mortar squads.
I don't know why. It would just be so funny for like wyverns to actually kill stuff.
Wyverns have killed it. I've caught it. I've got pictures.
I got the receipt.
It's just Red holding his thumbs up next to a pile of dice.
Sad look of his opponent. It's I think these two things are pretty strong. Do the Astra Militarum need to be modernized? They absolutely do. But in the short term, I mean, I'm going to put some power fist and plasma pistols on things and not look back.
Yeah, I got to build a lot of sergeants now. It's a lot of power fist.
Punisher cannon.
Yeah, Punisher cannon. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just put more shots out. You thought las cannons were bad? Heavy bolters all over the place.
I think one of the downfalls of Guard, I know we've talked about this a lot on the show, but this does help this, is that you've got to roll like the number of shots, and then you got to hit with your kind of mediocre ballistic skill, and then you got to wound, and then they have to save. So this, the two different changes kind of cut that down by a factor, you know, by a third, those failure points by, I think, a significant amount.
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I
think it's be great.
Like, I think it'll just be fun to just like roll buckets of dice and like see what you can kill. But yeah, I would have just liked to see some sort of like durability come into Astra Militarum somehow.
That's where those Voxcasters are coming in.
Voxcasters make you durable?
Don't you get to, aren't there stratagems that are like affect if both units have a Voxcaster or whatever?
You do order, or you can sling your orders around.
Exactly. You can push the orders, which is great, especially considering if I'm bringing a brigade and I'm bringing 12 infantry squads. You know, I think, Tanya, that may be an approach to it, is that now you can effectively, you know, by not making, and I understand exactly what you're saying, and it's not there, right? It's just not like Armor of Contempt. I mean, they gave it to every Chaos Cultist, so was it really too much to get, like, you know, Armor of Contempt includes everybody wearing a flak jacket? Was that too far? When it comes down to it, now we've essentially got more people that we can put on the table, because 720 points for 12 squads where we're not having to pay for all of that extra war gear allows us to have that many more bodies out there. And so we can, and don't get me wrong, that there is a frustration that's accounted for in playing that many models. That's just your troop choices, right?
I just want tanks to be good.
Yeah, we're going to need, well, and that goes back to, you know, we didn't really hit with Armor Contempt that Dreadnoughts also have that now. And so Dreadnoughts being -1 damage and why can't Imperial Armor or some of it, even if it's just the tanks, like specifically any vehicle with the keyword tank to it or whatever is -1 damage, right? That's an approach that could hopefully, maybe if someone out there like the Emperor is listening, maybe could incorporate into the Astra Militarum Codex here whenever it comes out.
Wink.
As much prayer put into that wink too.
Yes.
Great point, Daniel.
I just feel like, yeah, maybe Guard do struggle to kill a lot of things. Maybe we don't have like the same firepower as other armies, but there are some builds, there are some units that can delete whatever they look at, but as soon as it pokes its head out to kill that thing, it's dead the next turn, right? So it would just be nice, like -1 damage on a Lehman Russ, I feel like that might just give it just another round of shooting, you know? It just might give you a little bit of extra room to play with, you know?
This is the best thing that the Guard have gotten in a long time.
Yeah. Yay.
I'm of the opinion that without having a 9th edition codex, there's nothing that they can put in a data slate that's going to fix the intrinsic issues with the way Guard's designed, because it's just not a book that's... I mean, I totally agree with you, Tanya. I wish there was more. I wish there was something here that would let me shoot a tank's main turret into combat, like a Lehman Russ shoot, or shoot that turret out of combat. Like, you know, it's a turret weapon. Why does it care what's touching the outside of the tank? You know, just shoot the stuff you want to shoot. Something of that nature, which would give a lot of agency. Because as it stands right now, I mean, oh, cool, you shoot more better, you kill more better. I still just touch you, and none of the stuff you just got given matters. I just walk up, oh, you got a great tank, touched, you know, shut it all down. And so that's just not going to get fixed. I just don't know what they could do to fix that in a data slate. That's just like a fundamental. Vehicles need to be better. Like, legit, on the charge, a vehicle should hit hard. If I hit you with a tank, like, red, if someone got hit with a tank, I think it would hurt. Can you confirm?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna step out of the abstraction to answer that one. No.
It's a road too far, Adam. You ask too, you demand too much of me. But yeah,
we gotta go back to even. Like, if we start talking about what tanks can do, and then leads me into like Necrons and like what Gauss weapons actually do, and we start getting into weird science and stuff, and no, it's too far.
But it's always one that bugged me. Like the vehicles hit on sixes, like on the charge. They hit on sixes and they have like very weak profiles when they hit. It's always one that I was kind of scratched the back of my head. I'm like, huh? Surely this should hit harder than the guy with the stick over there, you know? But that guy with the stick just like nails these five dudes. But this tank that I just hit them with, like, nah, bounced.
Yeah. Well, we won't even go into like, you know, because people complaining about indirect being too strong, and then we start talking about what tanks can do, like the difference between indirect versus direct fire weapons and the whole physics things behind that, and so on and so forth. Don't get me wrong, you're spot on, Adam, but because we're playing game, you lose.
Did you disagree with you lose me? Everybody, fuck this day.
I didn't disagree with you.
Everyone.
The game disagreed with you, Adam. I'm sorry.
Momentous occasion. I would write it in my dream journal that I read.
Oh my goodness. I think probably the last thing we have time for to talk about in this one, and I know we mentioned we're going to talk about like Tyranids, and we will next week, that we have a list from John to join us that we can bring up, you know, hopefully inspire some folks to get out there. I'm curious as to what people are actually taking in their list, if they are as enamored with the Maliceptor and stuff as in Death Leaper as we were. But the Harlequins, so the Void Weavers, gone up a pretty good amount of points. So Void Weaver now 130 points per model.
Big oof.
Is that bad?
No.
well, it's probably going to functionally, I think what it does is again, you can still take 9 if you want, but I don't think people will do it. I think we'll see 6.
I thought 9 was superfluous. I thought 9 was too many anyway. So I like the idea of 6. Because essentially, or you could play the same list with 7 and you've got the same points now. Or you could go down to 6 and have some real room and do some, maybe bring some bikes, you know. I still think bikes are okay. I don't think they're great, but I'd love to see them on the table. Only thing I wish they did was differentiate the gun to be like, oh, the prism, the haywire cannon's a little bit less points than the prism cannon. Because it's obvious that one is better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But no, happy with this change. The other big change there for the Harlequins was one of the bigger issues what's the power that makes is an aura of everything 6 inches further away? I always think of it as old knight fighting.
I know what you're talking about. I cannot think of the name.
Well, seeing as I had the document open, I could just look it up. Mirror Architect.
Do you have? Oh yeah, sorry, it's not on the app. Never mind. Keep going.
Did you just diss the app? Did you just backhand diss?
No, you're. I was gonna be shocked and appalled if you were actually accessing the app, but then I remembered it's not on the app. So you're still reading it.
Foundations shaking there, Red. You should reinforce those. But Mirror Architect was the aura that made, you know, everything within range an extra 6 inches further away. It's now become a targeted ability that only affects a core unit, so it can never affect Void Weavers now at all. But one core unit now is 6 inches further away, which probably means you don't take this unless you're taking a max unit of troop that you want to keep safe. For like, you know, the deadly turns of the game. But I think with the lack of indirect fire, just hiding behind a ruin probably keeps them just as safe now anyway. But yeah, these are good changes, really good changes.
Yeah, anything that's going to help kind of even the playing field and make people feel like they're more interactive in the game. And I think that's largely what this thing accomplishes. So it feels pretty successful to me.
Yeah, I think they did a great job with this. The nerfs, I think... they could have gone a little bit further on Tau. I would have loved to have seen. So one of the big ones was broadsides lost the core keyword, which I think is fair enough. Things of their ilk. This is very similar to the Ballistari for Necrons. Sorry, for Admech, geez. Losing core on them, so it's quite comparable there. I wish that they did something to rein in Crisis Suits, which I thought was the major offender for the Tau builds. Of course, their indirect fire took a hit, as did everybody else's. But the fact that you can still just like min-max your Crisis Suits and just have a really dynamic and crazy potent army, up to, you know, 6 units of Crisis Suits in your army. I wish they had to my mind would have been simply to say, anything that says Crisis Suits counts the rule as 3. So you can only have a max of 3 units of Crisis Suits in your army. And that would have been a great change.
I mean, you think the people would have been fine with that type of push? I mean, that is kind of a deep cut.
Yeah, I think so. I think because they would right now people are taking, usually you see 5 units, 2 units of bodyguard, 3 units of regular Crisis Suits, and you'll have usually one or two of them be a big squad of 5 suits and a bunch of drones, and then have a bunch of 2s and 3s. All that would have happened would have been you probably just have 3 units of 5 rather than the 2s and 3s. And the issue is those 2 and 3 man Crisis units are so annoying to try and remove and do a phenomenal amount of damage when properly buffed.
I like it. I would also like to mention, as we close the show out, that Blight Lord and Death Shroud Terminators get secured ability.
Dang.
I'm a big fan of this change as well, because I just think that they needed something. And this is a great G-Dub finger on the pulse moment of being like, well, Death Guards had like nothing for a long time. They needed just a bit of oomph behind some of their better units.
Well, even actually got a little bit of a point change recently, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, so this may be justified. A little bit of a benefit.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, they had a few things go up, a couple things go down. I mean, it might make sense for why the PB, the Plague Burst Crawler went down, knowing the indirect fire was going to get nerfed. Because everyone's scratching their head like, huh? That was like the best model in the unit, in the army. Why did it go down? Whereas things like Poxwalkers and such went up inexplicably almost. But yeah, it all kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is going to help invigorate Light of Fire in the competitive side and match play side. And I'm here for it.
Me too, Matt.
Yeah,
me three.
That is our show this week.
Chan is like, AOS.
Tanya's like, where are my ogres?
AOS.
Oh, I'm with you, Tanya. I'm trying as hard as I can to get my first game in. And again, as I mentioned outside of this, that I'm trying to get my Bloodthirsters up into this new season of AOS. as I'm constructing my vampires. So we'll see how it goes.
Dude, come on back to Georgia.
Can't wait.
Get some of that Sigmar action happening. Well, that's, it's been a great show. We, of course, had a lot to talk about with it, with the data slate. Be back to our kind of standard fare next week. It's been a pleasure hanging out with y'all. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see y'all next week.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Prospect scan is clear. I think they're gone. For now.